So today I'm at Debenhams Ottaway, our legal experts in St Albans, and I'm talking to Susan Glenholm. Now, she's a partner here and head of the private wealth team. She's recognised as one of the leading private client lawyers in the region. She specialises in wills, probate, powers of attorney, tax planning and estate administration. That's a lot to be looking after, Susan. So let's start with wills, because for me, this is quite a tough one because I haven't made my will yet, and I know that's shocking. I'm a single mum. I've got my house, got my two kids, and I should be making a will. But I always get that kind of, am I tempting fate by doing it?
Thank you, Kerry. Yes, we do get that quite a bit. clients always worry about that. They think that the meeting's going to be too emotional. They don't know what to expect. So that happens quite a bit. So you're not unusual in thinking like that. But it's something not to worry about that. The whole point of making a will is to guarantee that your wishes are carried out, and it's the only way of guaranteeing that, and that your family are looked after and are protected, especially with young children. It's something to consider and to look at.
So what is the whole procedure? How kind of detailed do you go in?
So your will specifies as much or as little as you want to do. There are set provisions that you need to include. So you need to appoint executors. They're the people responsible for administering the estate, making sure it passes to who you want it to pass to. They should be someone you trust. It is a very responsible job. It is quite a lot of paperwork as well, because if your estate has inheritance tax to pay, then they would have to deal with that as well. So it is important that you appoint somebody that is able to deal with that at a time of grief as well.
Who would you recommend?
So we'd recommend your family. So for spouses that you have each other, first of all, if your children are over 18, that you appoint them as well, and you can have all of your children. So even if they're going to inherit, people ask this quite a bit, that if I leave my estate to my children, can they also be an executor? And they can. They can be a beneficiary, so they can inherit and they can also be an executor.
Right.
So if you do want to have someone independent, you can. Some people like to have friends or other family. So we offer the service for acting as an executor. That can be as partners in the firm. We are appointed by our clients who want to keep it independent and for us to keep an eye on how things are going without the emotion involved as a family member.
It's much more objective then, isn't
yes.
it, Rob?
And then also thinking about guardians. So that's something especially that a lot of families don't want to talk about, because you don't want to imagine the situation when you're not there and your children are under 18. But if you don't appoint a guardian, then the court appoints somebody. So it is really important that you've thought about that. And it also brings that discussion a bit more live, because you can then decide between the two of you as parents who you want to look after the children. Yeah. And that sometimes can get a little bit heated, but because it's a difficult decision to make, but it's very important to think about that.
And what would you do if you appointed somebody, but then for some reason they weren't able to do that? Are they allowed to say no?
Yes, so anyone can say no. So whoever you appoint, we recommend you speak to them about that, but you don't have to. But we always recommend in each situation that you have a backup, so that you have, if you appoint your spouse, for example, that you also have somebody if both of you have passed away. Mm. And the guardian clause only applies if you have both passed away. So if both parents have passed away, then someone would step in to do that.
Oh, so does it automatically go to the other parent then if something happens to you?
Whoever has parental responsibility would automatically take on that role, but you can specify if that person can't act, because it may be in a situation where they're unable to act for whatever reason, or they've got an incapacity, or they can't deal with looking after the children at the time. You can then have a backup at that point.
It's not straightforward, is it?
No, it isn't. And it's something to think about, because if you don't think about it, then the court would decide. And if you're having difficulty deciding, I'm sure you would rather that your family are involved than the court choosing somebody.
So what should you put in it? Should you cover off every last item in your house?
There's different things you can do. You can specify particular assets that you want to pass to particular people. They're called legacies. So that can be items of furniture or jewellery or heirlooms. I did have one client to put a post-it note on every item in her house, and that's something that you can do. That's not legally binding. You can just record it in a letter of wishes. Again, that's not legally binding, but it can be a list just specifying who you want the specific items to pass to, and your executors then have discretion as to whether or not they follow that. But then with everything else, so that's more for personal belongings, but with everything else we recommend that you look at it as one pot, that you then decide how that passes, whether it's in percentages or shares, rather than specifying a particular particular asset, because if you say my particular bank account, if that account was closed before you die, then that wouldn't pass to the person. So it's important to look at everything as a whole, and then you can decide who you want that to go to.
You said that the executors could decide whether they did what you'd asked them to do. Do they actually have that power then to overrule what you've asked?
Only if it's in a letter of wishes. So if you did put the post-it notes around the house, for example, that's not legally binding. So it would be up to your executors whether they decide to follow that. But if you want to make it legally binding, then you should put it in the will.
Right, I'm with you.
But you can vary someone's will. At the moment, up to 2 years after someone dies, the person inheriting is able to say that they don't want all of that. They want to redirect it to their own children as well. So that's something we look at and help clients with, especially with tax. For inheritance tax, they may feel that they don't need that money coming to their estate because they're already in a taxable position. So they want to pass the estate to somebody else instead.
Inheritance tax is a big one around here, right?
It is, yes. And just mainly because of the value of property around here. Generally, you're over the inheritance tax limit, which is currently £325,000. So it is something to look at. And that's part of the will. We'd have the inheritance tax discussion with you and cover how that works and how you can save inheritance tax. And also protecting the estate. It's protecting it for the beneficiaries, making sure that it's put in trust, for example. If you have a disabled child or a particularly vulnerable beneficiary, that you can protect that for them. And then again, it would be at the discretion of the executors and trustees. They'd be able to decide when the child receives any money, depending. It might just be a child that that you don't trust to have the money yet. And you want them to inherit a bit later than 18.
Yeah, when they're a bit more responsible, whenever that happens.
Yes.
So what happens, for example, Susan, in my case, my dad got dementia a couple of years ago, and we had to apply to kind of look after his affairs while he was still alive. So do you do all that?
We do. Yeah. So that's so the will comes into effect on your death, but in your lifetime, there's other things that you can deal with. So that's called powers of attorney.
Right.
So there's two types. They're called lasting powers of attorney. There's two types. One relates to your finances, one relates to your health. The finance document covers anything to do with your money. So buying and selling property, paying bills, and all of your financial affairs is covered by that document. And the health document is anything to do with your personal side of things. So it does cover resuscitation, any personal decision in terms of medical care or where you live, but the resuscitation is probably the most important part, that you can authorise somebody to be able to refuse or consent to life-sustaining treatment.
Wow.
So it's very important that you trust that person because they can do anything you can do, including switching off the machine.
And it's a big responsibility for them, isn't it?
It is, and that's something to discuss with them, whether they feel that they can do that. And you can have more than one person. You can appoint them to act together, or they can act together or independently. But again, discuss that with them, because there's various options, and we would go through all of those options with you just to make sure that's all carries out your wishes.
What would happen if two executors couldn't agree?
So executors on your death, do you mean that?
Oh,
on that?
Okay, so yes.
In the will, in the power of attorney, it's called you're called attorneys. But the same for with the attorneys, it depends how you've dealt with it. So you can appoint, if they both were appointed jointly, then they would both have to act and they have to deal with it. Obviously, if they had a big falling out, then it would have to go to the court.
Right.
But if you appoint them to act what's called jointly and severally, so they can either act together or they could act independently, then any one of them could make that decision. But again, if one goes off and does something that's fraud, for example, or they deal with something incorrectly, then the court always keep an eye on that, and you can report that to the court, and they take that very seriously.
I'm sure.
And just to cover just briefly, that's also, if you did do an enduring power of attorney, which the law changed in 2007 to bring in lasting powers of attorney, but if you did do an enduring power of attorney before 2007, everyone signed it, that is still valid. So you don't have to do the lasting power of attorney if you already did that, but that only covered your finances. So even though you've got that in place, you may want to consider doing the health one as well. And also, the enduring power of attorney didn't have you couldn't have a backup, a replacement attorney on that one. You had to appoint everybody at the same time. So some people only appointed their spouse, for example.
Right.
So if you now want to have it to have children as well, then you can do the lasting.
So it's probably worth doing then, if you've still got an enduring power of attorney from pre 2007. It's probably worth having a word with you and getting that
changed. Yes, so just reviewing it.
estate.
Yes, and just checking that it might be all be okay and you might be happy with it. Yeah. But we do review the wills and powers of attorney. Mm. People already have them. Just to check that you know what it says. You might have done it a very long time ago and you've forgotten what it says or you don't know what it means. So we can just have a review of that, look at it, and it might be everything's fine. You don't need to worry about it and come back in a little while and see it again. The other thing was just to mention there was in relation to if you don't do a power of attorney, then the Court of Protection get involved. They usually appoint your next of kin and you've lost the opportunity to appoint somebody that you wanted to have dealing with your finances or your health. We do deal with that side of things as well, but it is much more time consuming, much more costly, and you do have to go through the court with the decisions that need to be made. So we strongly recommend that you look at the power of attorney.
That's a clear message.
If you have left it too late, then you can do the Court of Protection, but it's root, but it is better if you can get round to doing
I suppose we should all be doing that now, yes, really, shouldn't yeah. we? Because you just yeah. don't know what's around the corner, what
exactly.
could happen.
Exactly.
So, yeah,
and wow. it's at any age as well. People think, oh, I have to be over a certain yeah, age to be able to do it. But unfortunately now with skiing accidents and people do so many more sporting and extreme sports and things like that now, it's important to think about it at any age.
Yeah, of course.
So just moving on to inheritance tax, which sort of links to the wills. Mm. We do cover, so the rules at the moment is that if your estate is over £325,000 as a single person, anything above £325,000 is charged at 40%.
Yeah.
But for a married couple, if one of you passes away and you leave your whole estate to the survivor, there's no inheritance tax at that point because there's a spouse exemption. And then when the survivor passes away, they automatically get double the inheritance tax limit on their estate. So at the moment, you'd get the £325,000 is doubled yeah. to £650,000, and then anything above that would be charged at 40%. But unfortunately, in this area, properties are already over the £650,000 yeah. in some cases, so there would still be tax to pay. But there are some new rules coming in that are not in force yet in terms of leaving your estate to a direct descendant. There are additional allowances coming in, but they're not in force yet. But I won't go into too much detail on that on this occasion. That's something
we can talk about separately. What's the 7-year rule?
That's on saving inheritance tax, that you can gift your estate in order to save inheritance tax. You must actually make a gift. You can't retain an interest in it. You can't say, I'll give you that painting on my wall, but I'll keep it in my house. You have to actually give it away and not have any interest in it. And then you have to survive 7 years for it to be completely outside your estate. So whatever the value is, if you survive 7 years, it's outside your estate for inheritance tax purposes.
And if you didn't, then
if you don't, it depends on the value of the gift. But say you gave a gift of £100,000, for example, and you didn't survive the 7 years, instead of having £325,000 as your limit, you'd have £225,000 right. because it's reduced by yeah. the amount of the gift. But that can be a separate topic all on its own to talk about, because there's a lot to discuss.
Definitely. Then I would be delighted if you could come in again and talk about that another time. Yes, that'd be great. Brilliant. It's been absolute pleasure talking to you today, Susan, and I know that I need to sort my life out now.
Thank you, Kerry. Thank you very much.